Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. My name is Melitza and I'm your host. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours that we have. You have young children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, show number 38. Thanks for listening to the show today. If you're new here, welcome and hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room by the treasure baskets over here. Last week was the Back to School edition where I talked about how to use Twitter to find early childhood resources, a post on homeschooling, and some reflections on a study about parents forgetting how to play with their children. My children went back to school last week and gifted me with a cold. Now, poor lambs, they're all suffering with the new germs, new school that happens at the beginning of new term. Does this happen to you too? Gosh, I tried last year to wash our hands as soon as we came in. So we came in the door, put down our backpacks, and we all went and washed our hands with soap. It seemed to work better last year, although some of you remember we had quite a few colds too then. Does that work for you too? Is that happening for you at the moment as well? I can't believe it. It's the second week of school term, and here we are all sick. Ah, that's how it goes, I suppose. Anyway, this week continues the back-to-school theme with an interview with Mary Lee of Pink and Green Mama. Today we talk about art supplies for children. It's the best time to get school items right now, because they're on sale. So we should stock up for next year. Do something about those craft centres that are looking kind of sorry for themselves that we all have at home. Or even think about Christmas presents. You know, I was thinking about it today. My two-year-old loves that magic tape, the ones that you can write on. And we have it on that roll for easy access so that you can just snap it off. Well, of course, he loves to just keep pulling and pulling and pulling. Well, with everything on sale right now, I can get him one of those magic tape dispenser things. And he can have his very own. He doesn't have to bother mine. And I don't have to be so worried that if he's going to get hold of it. So I know for sure that he would be in his element for hours and hours and hours if he could have his own one of those. Oh, and just a sidebar as well. If you collect supplies together for Operation Shoebox, is it called Operation Shoebox? You know, at Christmas time they have that program where you get a shoebox and you fill it full of activities and supplies for children that need it around the world. I think it's Operation Shoebox. Well, now is a perfect time to be getting those supplies because the school supplies are on sale. So there's a 2-for-1 offers, 3 for the price of 2, the buy one get one free. You've got coupons that you can use, and those of us that have points when you go shopping at the supermarket, you can use your points to buy more supplies. You know, we all have an art box lingering around the house. Some of us, I know, we just went into the local shops and just picked things blindly at random. You had high hopes of doing great art, or you were given a box of rainy day activities and now you've got sequins and glitter and glue and you really don't know what else to do with it. Especially that lonely paintbrush, that thin little paintbrush, and you're wondering, what other paintbrushes could I possibly need? Well, today is the show for all of us because Mary Lee shares from her years and years of experience as an elementary art teacher. She names the art supplies to inspire us and to inspire our children. So stay tuned and listen to our interview with her. After the interview, I also talk about our weekly find, and you want to know where to get 31 fun and creative activities to download. I'll be right back after this short break.
Look at all the cars. Lots of colored cars. Ah, there's a blue one. Isn't it pretty? Whew, look how fast that red one's going. It's red like that stop sign. Like my jacket.
This is a 38-year-old man.
My jacket's not a car, is it? Is my jacket a car? My jacket is red, but it doesn't go fast.
He may sound a little strange to you and me.
Vroom. Vroom, vroom.
But to his 2-year-old son, who's interested in cars and colors, he makes perfect sense.
That's the sound cars make.
When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary, and learning starts long before school does. So follow their lead. Take simple everyday moments, like eating dinner or just watching cars go by, and turn them into learning moments.
Ooh, look, red car!
Yes! And it's moving awfully fast.
Blue car!
Yes! The man in the red car is about to meet the man in the blue car. Get himself a pretty pink ticket.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Mary Lee is the fabulous owner of pinkandgreenmama.blogspot.com, an elementary teacher now crafting at home. She's also the owner of an Etsy shop called Pink and Green Mama. Mary Lee has 2 young children, and her tagline on her blog is Raising Children with a Heart Full of Art. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots.
Thank you, Melissa. I'm very excited to be here this evening.
Mary Lee, your blog is all about art and making things. Everything is so cute and inspirational. I love just going to your blog. Tell us a little bit about your art background and what inspired you to be arty.
Well, I think I came to it naturally. Both of my parents are artists. I'm an only child, and my mom stayed home with me, so we made a lot of art together. There were always art supplies in our house, but I don't think there were as many as there are in mine now. I majored in art in college and then minored in art history at the same time. I got my teaching license to become certified to teach art in the public schools, which I did after graduation for 5 years in our public school system before staying home to raise my 2 daughters. I actually went back to school and got my MFA, Master's of Fine Arts, when my oldest daughter was only 5 months old. So I went to classes at night and would run home at 11 o'clock at night to nurse her one more time and put her to bed. And it was crazy, but I did it. It took me 3 years, but I got it done right before I got pregnant with our second daughter. So.
Nice.
But the art's something I've always done. I think it's who I've always felt. I guess being a creative person is who I've always felt that I am. So it's just part of me, I guess.
That's a lot of hard work you did there. I love art, but I'm not arty. I don't mind getting out the paints and the crayons with the kids, but it took me teaching at school, I think, to get the confidence to know that it doesn't matter that I'm just not very good. But it's the trying that counts. So some of these questions I'm going to be talking and asking you today are for us art-challenged mums.
Okay.
What type of activities would you suggest for mums that haven't done art at home for whatever reason? Some of us are just shy about trying to do art. Like I said before, we're not so good ourselves, so we don't want to do it. And some of us just don't want the mess.
Absolutely.
Scared by the whole thing. What could you suggest that they start with?
First of all, I would say don't be scared or intimidated. I found when I was teaching art that I ran into so many people who would say to me, oh, I'm terrible at art. And frequently when I got to talking to adults, I found out that most adults had someone somewhere along the line who squelched that natural art for them in their childhood. They had a mean teacher or a bad art teacher in elementary school who told them they were terrible, or a parent who really wasn't supportive of it and didn't like the messes or something like that. Usually there's something like that at the root of it. If you can, as a parent with young children especially, I think Picasso said something once about all children are natural artists, and I know I'm mangling his quote right now, but the gist of it was that. And you know, with little kids, really, it's the process more than the product. So it's going through the steps of making something is so much more important than how it looks in the end. So if you think it looks like rubbish, it doesn't matter. And what I always told my students when I was teaching art is mistakes, there are no mistakes in art. Mistakes are an opportunity for new ideas or discoveries. So if you can go into it with that mindset, I think, first of all, it's a win-win situation for you and your child. Second of all, if you are intimidated or you're not interested in doing art or it's new to you, keep it simple. Do not get in over your head or do something that you're uncomfortable with, because then neither one of you is going to have any fun. You and your children will not enjoy the experience. A couple of simple basic things you can do. Collage is very easy. Basically, you're cutting and pasting and just gluing things together. I bet you already have the materials in your home right now. Junk mail, magazines, newspapers, catalogs, cupcake wrappers, you name it, wrapping paper scraps. Then all you need is some school glue or a glue stick. Scissors, if you don't have scissors, rip it, use your teeth, whatever you need to do, glue it down. That's a really fun basic thing. Children of all ages enjoy that, and mommies do too. It can be very therapeutic. You can get a piece of poster board and draw a house, a basic house outline, like a dollhouse, and then get a furniture catalog and have your child or the newspaper and cut out furniture and decorate the dream house with them. You know, cut out a chandelier and glue it by the ceiling, cut out a bed and make a pretend house. That's a simple, easy art project that even the most inept, you know, artist could do. Draw and doodle with your kids. Watercolors are fun and pretty safe. They're not very messy, but I don't know a kid who doesn't love using them. Crayola Model Magic is a wonderful product if you want to experience Play-Doh or clay, but without the mess. And the great thing about it is you don't have to bake it afterwards. It air dries, and then you can watercolor it, color on it with markers, leave it white. It comes in some basic colors. It's a great product, but it's a little pricey for my range. I like good old-fashioned homemade salt dough, too. I mean, flour, water, salt, knead it up, throw in some nutmeg or cinnamon for smell if you want, and just sit at the kitchen table and feel it with your kids and squeeze it and roll little donuts and snakes all day long, and they'll have a blast with you. Those are some basic things that that any mom should be able to do at home with their children.
Oh, no, that sounds really exciting. You've given me some inspiration.
Good.
To do things. Because really, I don't mind trying it, but I feel my limitations. I know how far I can go.
Right.
And yet I know that my children want to experiment and do other things, and so I have to think past what I can't do and what they can try. So it's really nice to hear, especially things like a collage, because there isn't a right way that it has to look. I think that can be a real problem sometimes, is that when you have a product in mind, that it doesn't matter what the process is, you know that it has to look right at the end.
Yeah.
But with a collage, it doesn't. And there's a lot of art that you've just explained that it doesn't matter how you go
right
about it. It's just getting through it and experiencing it with the children. What are the basic art materials that you would suggest for each age group? Let's start with the toddlers.
For toddlers, I think non-toxic is very important, because at that stage, at least if they were my children, my kids were very oral, so everything went in their mouths. And even if they weren't actually eating the art product, it was on their hands, and then their hands were going into their mouths. So you want to go non-toxic. Something that comes first to my mind for toddlers, which probably wouldn't even count as a real art supply, is food coloring. I love food coloring, and if you read my blog, you'll see that I'm a giant food coloring addict. I actually ship food coloring to my friends who are overseas who cannot get it for their toddlers. I have several girlfriends, one in the Ukraine and one for work, and one who's moved to the United Emirates in Dubai, and Arab Emirates in Dubai, and they can't find food coloring where they are, so I'll ship them that in a care package and chocolate chips. And vanilla extract, because they can't find that either. But it's food coloring is great, because you can do so much with it. You can make homemade watercolor with it by adding water. You can color water and pour it in cups with your toddler. Or you can make colored ice cubes in an ice cube tray and throw it in their bathtub, take it outside on a hot day and play with it on the sidewalk. Throw it in some cornstarch in a muffin pan with some water and give them a paintbrush. They can paint the sidewalk with it and make it turns into colored sidewalk chalk that hoses off and does not stain. Mm-hmm. You can add it to homemade finger paint, i.e. vanilla pudding or yogurt, and let them mix the colors. They can spread it on a clean table, a high chair tray, a plate, and paint with that. It's really fun for them. Another product I love are the soy-based crayon rocks. They're easy to hold and manipulate, and small children can scribble with them on paper in any direction. I would recommend a big pad of drawing paper because sometimes when they're that little, a regular sheet of paper, they don't have a sense of how hard to push and scribble, and they sometimes are very enthusiastic when they draw. They draw with their whole body or their whole arm. And if it's a little piece of paper, sometimes it gets away from them and slips away. But if it's a big drawing pad, they can really open up and scribble away. I think those are really good products for toddlers especially. And honestly, your recycling bin or your junk pile, you know,
yes.
Toilet paper tubes,
yes,
empty boxes, cupcake papers, anything like that. Kids have great imaginations. Throw in a little masking tape, and you've got a whole afternoon of art project right there. So.
Wow, nice. That's amazing. You mentioned a soy crayon. Can
yes.
you talk a little bit more about that? I've not
that yeah, before. And I'm trying to remember for the life of me. I just got some for my girls, and I've been wanting them for the past year, and I don't remember the name of the company. I can email it to you later if you need a link.
Sure.
But it's made with... It's soy-based, so it's completely organic, and it's supposed to be very safe. And they are in the shape, they're crayons that are shaped like pebbles or stones almost. They look like magical wishing stones,
oh.
and they come in a little velvet drawstring pouch, and they're in a little spectrum of rainbow colors. And my girls, I have them actually on our kitchen table right now in a basket, just sitting out all the time. I put a little... Lazy Susan in the middle of our kitchen table, and I have a beautiful pottery old jar that I threw that has Crayola twistable crayons in it. Then I have the basket, the natural basket with the crayon rocks in it, and then I have glue sticks and pencils and things, and then I have a stash of paper nearby. So my girls will come to the kitchen table throughout the day while they're waiting for me to fix snack or dinner or something, and they'll just draw and create at the table, and it's a great experience for them. And honestly, my mom was over the other day, and she sat down and started doodling with them. Even adults can't resist them. The tactile quality of them, they're smoother than regular crayons, and they kind of glide along.
Oh.
I'm not sure exactly what it is about them, but I love them. It's one
yeah.
of my favorite new art products that I've found.
Oh, I'll have to look out for that because I
yeah,
have
absolutely.
Color, so I think he would like that.
Yeah, I really, really do. They're neat.
Hello, this is Mark Hamilton from JustAskBaby.com on Raising Playful Tots.
Thanks again to Mary Lee of Pink and Green Mama for her interview, and I hope you are inspired to break out of some of those new art supplies. Mary Lee is so generous with her ideas. You'll love her posts about preschool art supplies along with lots of easy activities to do. I'll leave a link for them and her website, which is pinkandgreenmama.blogspot.com, in the show notes. Don't forget you can find the links mentioned in the show by going to www.raisingplayfultots.com. There's also an archive of the shows to listen to over there as well. Time for the weekly find. This is the part of the show where I like to highlight a play activity or resource that I found interesting this week and that I wanted to share with everybody. This week I wanted to share one from Elise. It's a downloadable resource for us that you'll want to pin on your fridge or stick on your whiteboard. Elise is a former teacher who blogs at Inspiration Surrounds, Creativity Abounds. What an inspiring title. Where she gets to make and create with her three children. Elise has written a 31 play-based activity chart, and she promises more in the future. Yippee! She's based this seasonal series on the Garner Multiples Intelligence Approach. That's namely an effective way to differentiate your learning activities and cater to different ages, abilities, and learning styles. I can see this could really apply for group settings and for individual children, as the activities are really flexible. So pop on over and grab your copy. Please let Elise know where you found out about her fab resource. We all love feedback. If you find something to share about the early years, too, just like Elise did, please feel free to share them with all of us. You can email your links and ideas into melitsa@raisingplayfultots.com. That's melitsa@raisingplayfultots.com. Go to the website and click on my Twitter button to follow me there, and you can tweet me or try the voicemail number, which is 512-827-0505 and extension 3998. I'd like to give a shout out to Cara at Simple Kids for talking about the podcast on her blog. Thanks, Cara, for sharing your podcast list. It takes quite a bit of time to get a show together, and hearing a listener review makes all of us podcasters know that there are really people out there listening. Another way would be to leave a review on iTunes about the show. That review section is a really cool feature. It really helps you to find other podcasts, because you as a listener, you like, say, this particular show, and if you go to our show, Raising Playful Tots on iTunes, and you look at the listener reviews, you'll see other people who have subscribed to other podcasts. So you can look at that and think, well, if they like this show and I like this show, then you might like those other shows that are being shown there. And so that's a really good way of finding out other shows that you really like, especially if you get to leave a review as well. Thanks for sharing the love, Cara. I'm also seeing more links in blog rolls and on sidebars of the Raising Playful Tots badge. Thanks, guys. That's really cool. And lastly, I'd like to thank Ray of the podcasterstudio.com for helping me get the Raising Playful Tots badge to show up in iTunes and on my iPod. Oh, you don't know how long I've been trying to get that to work. Podcasters are great for helping each other. Thanks. You really filled my bucket this week. I'll end with a really quick story. The middle one, although loving school, was still napping at 4:30 in the afternoon if you let him. I know, it's amazing. He's my only one who didn't fight naps, ever. He still doesn't fight naps, really, truth be told. And I've been really worried about how he's going to cope with being in full-time school, because he'd be really tired. I was always wondering if, you know, in the afternoon he'd be flagging and they'd be sitting on the carpet doing story, and then he'd just kind of keel over and, you know, fall like a big lump of jelly to the ground and just fall asleep. But his teacher assures me that that's not been happening. But we love to do our play activities at home, and with half-day school when he was in preschool, we had plenty of time to get everything in. We could get naps in, snacks in, lunch in, see, it revolves around food here, and play activities. But now with full-time school, along with his older brother, there's just so much to do in the evenings. I don't know, maybe it's just my routine isn't so good right now. But I've been missing our play activities, and so have they. We just can't seem to get it together to complete anything. And, I mean, even if we get the Play-Doh out and we just play with the Play-Doh, it seems that we just get it out before we have to just put it away again. Maybe it's just bad timing. I asked on Twitter, and I wrote a post about it on the blog, play-activities.com/blog. And I just wanted to ask everyone here, how is everyone else coping with tired children in full-time school or daycare or any full-time facility that they have to be in? How do you get your play activities in, the ones that you want to do with them? I'm looking for feedback to add to a new post, because I'm sure I can't be the only one that has reception children or preschool children or daycare children that they get home that are just pooped, just tired from school, and yet you want to do all the stuff with them because you haven't seen them all day, and they want to do stuff with you, but you know, you're all just tired. So what type of activities do we all do? I think it'd be really great if we could kind of make a list of all of those. So if you have an idea, a way that you do something, then get in touch and let us know, and I'll include you in the post. Okay, this has been a long one, and I'm trying to keep these shows to under 30 minutes. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 38, for the week of the 12th of September 2010. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.